Shabbat shalom, everyone. It's getting a little cold out there, isn't it? Oh, yeah, it is. I'm enjoying it. The Father's good to us in all matters. The Word has been absolutely phenomenal, as usual. You can't help but notice patterns, and we know that last Friday, Brother Scott really emphasized a lot of things from the Haftorah. He's talking about the world's wisest man and his upbringing and going to high places. And what I can't help but notice that it fits so perfectly whenever it comes to us realizing that there's high places that the Father has established for us. Or we could take the other option, high places that aren't really not so high. And there's something that I actually wanted to share in regards to what he did share, because it just came back to memory, is whenever he brought up in Amos chapter 8, and it was speaking towards the selfishness of the children of Israel during that time of their judgment that they were receiving. He referred to them as swallowing up the innocent, swallowing up everything around them and just consuming in sight. And that word swallowing up, swallow, is sephaph. And when you look at the ancient Hebrew, it reflects towards serpent, then it also reflects towards high places. Now, that's something that Brother Scott kind of shared a little extra with me. Then it gets your mind rolling whenever we look at these Hebrew words. And as we're looking at the life of Yosef, sorry, just give me one moment. I usually put this thing on airplane mode so that way I don't get any interceptions. Minor distraction. But on that topic of us choosing where we're going to spend our time, because that's what it really represents. Where we spend our time, it's going to be reflected. It's going to show. Or in other words, we can't fake our shape. And what's interesting about that is Thursday night, we got neighbors across the way from us now, and it was dark out. And I like the little setup that they got going on with their camper, and they got some nice lights hanging from tree to tree, and it just gives an ambience of camping while they're, you know, here doing work for the LNG plant. Well, I walk past my window, and I see the lights, and I don't pay no mind to it. Then I walk back again, because it's right there in the kitchen, and I could just reach down, grab my water, and I look up. Somebody got a flashlight like this pointed onto their camper. And their camper's big enough to look like a white canvas. They're doing shadow puppets. And you can see the silhouette of the shapes that they were making with their hands. And of course, I'm standing there going, yep, can't fake the shape. It's embedded in there. That silhouette's in there. But you know, the beautiful thing is the Father wants to put us in a position to where we're being molded into that image and likeness. We can't fake the shape. We gotta make sure that we adhere to what it is that He originally designed for us. Or we can gravitate towards the mighty foreign ones. Something that was brought up Bible study night, Wednesday night, that was emphasized by Brother Chad of Genesis 35, verse 2. And that the option's very simple, and it's right in front of us all the time. So when we reflect and look at the times that we're currently living in, and considering where we're at in the Word, and considering what the Father's been telling us subtly, continually throughout week after week, it seems like the genuine message that I've been hearing, because we all self-reflect according to where we're at in our lives, is that there's certain things that we may still have that we spend time with that really needs to be put aside. Because we can take subtle things like our phone or little games on the phone or whatever it can be for each person. It could be sports, entertainment, of anything of that sort that could be a distraction. It needs to be a lot less of that and a lot more of the Father. Because those are the high places that we establish in our lives. And that ultimately we got to keep ourselves in check and make sure that we're not creating any mighty foreign ones before Him. But with that being said, tonight's going to reflect a lot around boldness and boasting, light, and our approach. Now we're slowly but surely moving along in our Torah portion, and now we're going to be looking at Genesis 41, verse 15 and 16. And I can guarantee y'all it's not going to be extensive by no means. It's going to feel like snail's pace. But that's all right. We're going to see what the Father has for us tonight. So verse 15 and 16, I'm going to go ahead and read, and we're going to keep moving along in this. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is no one to interpret it. Now I myself have heard it said of you that you understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me, let Elohim answer Pharaoh with shalom, with peace. Now we know this extends upon what was said in, what we got to reflect upon is what was said in verse 8 of that chapter. And we got to be reminded that, and it came to be in the morning that his spirit, Pharaoh's spirit, was moved, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Mishraim and all its wise men. And Pharaoh related to them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Now the Father has given us such a beautiful picture of the fact that he's allowing us to go through things. We're allowed to have prison experiences in our life because he's trying to create a boldness within us, and not boldness according to the world standards. Now, being that I'm saying that, let's go ahead and just read the English definition real quick of boldness. Y'all bear with me. I did my best to put notes in order, but sometimes things are going to flow differently. But boast, in our simple understanding, is to talk with excessive pride and self-satisfaction of one's own achievements, possessions, or abilities. And there's more to that, but I'm sure we're familiar what boasting looks like according to the flesh, which is not acceptable whenever it comes to likeness and image of what the Father has for us. Because whenever we get put into positions to where we're going to be potentially put in front of someone of great power and authority in this earthly realm, we got to make sure that we're walking in the right biblical boldness, because it takes boldness, especially in the times that we're living in. But we got to know what that boldness is according to his standards. So there's a lot of people that are walking around with some false perception of boldness and has a very face value relationship with the Messiah. And they go around boasting like it's something. And I know that seems like I just threw a jab, but the reality is whenever you're faced, when the rubber meets the road and the times that we're living in, it's going to take a genuine connection and boldness and relationship and trust with humility with the Father to be able to endure what it is that he has for us, so that way we can answer correctly. And that boldness and that boasting goes directly in with how Joseph just addressed Pharaoh. That was his golden opportunity to be like, look at me. Like, yeah, I got the answers for you. Didn't make it about himself. He made it about his Elohim. That's boasting in the Most High. But on the note of us potentially being before people of those magistrates, in Matthew 10, verse 16 to 18, the key emphasis is 18, which this area goes to 25 if you want to read that. It's titled, Persecution Will Come. But it says, see, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. But beware of men, for they shall deliver you up to Sanhedrins and flog you in their congregations, and you shall be brought before governors and sovereigns for my sake, as a witness to them and to the nations. So we can see that there's an essence of boldness that needs to take place. And our approach is everything. Now, in our slide presentation, I usually give us a slide so that we can refer to them, but I don't have the slide number. But I'm going to read it as follows. It says, Pharaoh relates to Joseph his dilemma that none of his own could interpret his dreams, and was told that Joseph could. And Joseph make a very clear statement and bold confession that it was not he who could interpret the dreams, but that Pharaoh should let Elohim answer him with shalom. And Joseph acknowledges that the gift of interpretation was not of himself, but that every good gift comes from above, for it is only Elohim that any such gift can truly be used for his esteem. And I really want to highlight the scripture that's being given here. Because remember, tonight we're going to be focusing on boasting, boldness, light, and approach. But Yaakov, James 1, which is, it's in our slides, 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no change nor shadow of turning. That word lights, I don't have the Greek, but we're going to keep that in mind because it's going to come into play later whenever we're dealing with boasting. But also, as children of a Father of lights, essentially that should make us children of lights. And we're going to hear some familiar scripture that revolves around that. But, you know, the reality is we all have a light bill that we pay. And naturally, if we're not doing our due diligence and things don't get lined up and it don't line up to where you have lights, you can tell. You can tell when you're in darkness. And if we were real with ourselves, we can tell whenever we're in darkness, when we have an absence of the Father of lights that shines brightly upon us, as long as we are able to have those same components, because he wants us to see clearly. He wants us to be able to be bold in the times that we're in. So we're going to look at an example of boldness by Paul in 2 Corinthians 10. We're going to start with verse 1. But, you know, I was doing a little bit of history research, and I was able to get some information that why Paul had such a handful whenever it came to Corinth. Because lo and behold, Corinth didn't have any congregation established of belief in Messiah or the Torah until Paul came along. He's basically a founding father of that area in Corinth. And as time goes on, gets introduced to different teachers of sorts and gets introduced to different things. So people in their boastfulness in the flesh was pressing Paul. And he had to respond to it in this letter. And we're going to see a good example of boldness in the Father instead of getting out of character. Because, I mean, for one, whenever you know Paul and his resume, it's really not someone you want to mess with. Like, this is someone that literally had one of the best teachers of the Torah, Gamaliel, had it memorized front to back. He knew it. He knew the thing literally like the back of his hand. He could quote it, something that was required of kings and the high priests. And on top of that, he was definitely no slouch. He was a persecutor. He went and did what he felt like he had to do because he believed what was going on was false. And I mean, lo and behold, there's a really good reason why the Father saw him worthy enough to be blinded and his direction changed and his eyes truly opened. So I say that in defense of Paul because it can kind of be rough whenever you read this and realize what he's dealing with. But I strongly believe, in the words of Brother Chad, I strongly believe that Paul was pretty good at being the buttercup that sucked it up. So, something he shared Wednesday night. Sometimes you got to suck it up, buttercup. But it says with verse 1, and I, Shaul, myself appeal to you through the meekness and gentleness of Messiah. He's letting them know his approach. I who am indeed lowly when face to face with you, but bold toward you when absent. Now he's saying that facetiously, with some attitude, because what's been said about him. But I pray that when I am present, I might not be bold with that bravery by which I think to be bold against some who reckon us as if we walked according to the flesh. He's reminding him of his approach. And that bold in the Greek is thorero. It's G2292. And it's to exercise courage. And naturally, if we want to see results in something, it's going to take some form of exercise, which just means practice. something that you become familiar with, something that you integrate with yourself because you want to get something out of it. We only have one or two options whenever it comes to boasting. We're either going to boast with the humility that the Father tells us to boast in, or we're going to boast according to our own ability, our own accomplishments, our own this, our own that. We'll commend one another according to our own standards. And this is something that Paul's dealing with. And ultimately, in all honesty, in the direction that things seem to be going in the world right now, there's going to be a lot of outside noise. There's going to be a lot of voices with their opinions. There's going to be a lot of boasting of information. I got the next thing. I know this. I see this. I predict this. I'm a prophet of this. On and on and on and on. It could literally feel like an ocean of just boasting. We'll put it in those words. And but that's why it's important for us to be in a position to where we realize that we have the ability to come to a place where we receive information, take that information, and run with it. Like the pot shards that was spoken about Wednesday night. We get messages with information that we can take with us and run with it. And we can boast in the Father of what he's doing with us. So that way we're not on the other side of it. Because Paul's going to really lay it out in his in Paul-like fashion. Well, let's keep going through this so we can see an example that we're given on what our approach should be when dealing with people that are boasting in their own selves in regards to how they believe things should be. But for though we walk in the flesh, we do not fight according to the flesh. For the weapons we fight with are not fleshly, but mighty in Elohim for overthrowing strongholds, overthrowing reasonings, and every high matter that exalts itself against the knowledge of Elohim, taking captive every thought to make it obedient to Messiah, and being ready to punish all obedience when your obedience is complete. Take a look at what you are facing. If anyone seems to trust in himself that he is of Messiah, let him reckon again for himself that he is of Messiah. So also are we. So there's no question or doubt with the amount of boasting that Shaul is doing right here, showing that he has that understanding of who he is in the Father and that he's walking that out. And he's letting them know, if you think you have of Messiah, if you think you know all, tell all, you might want to check yourself again because your fruit ain't quite lining up. And we were told by Messiah, you will know them by their fruit. So are we being careful enough throughout our walk to make sure that when people see us, that we're naturally shining, we're naturally boasting that image and likeness of the Father that comes off of us whenever we walk in him. And some of these things, as I say, it will make more sense whenever we get to that area of the word breakdown. For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Master gave us for building up and not for overthrowing you, I shall not be put to shame, lest I seem to frighten you away by letters. Because they say, his letters are truly weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech amounts to naught. I mean, it just really kind of shows telltale sign of how people can be. People in general can honestly have a lot to say about somebody, but yet when it comes to their walk with the Father, it's not reflecting anything. That's a level of boastfulness that it's not going to get you anywhere except on the other side of something that you don't want to be a part of. But thankfully, the Father gives us the right way to boast. And all in all, we got to see the connection is Yosef's boldness, in the same way that we're seeing boldness and boasting being spoken about in Corinthians, is a reflection of that. It's crazy to think about it, but literally boasting in the Father, boasting the way the Father had prescribed for us to be able to boast in, is the exact complete opposite of what understanding of boasting that we were raised up with. I've always thought boasting and it was in a negative sense, in a prideful sense. But let's continue with Paul laying it out. and answering correctly, because mind you, he is someone that could really just lay down the law literally if he wanted to, but he was a prisoner of Messiah. Let such a one take this into account, that what we are in word by letters when absent, such we are also indeed when we are present. For we do not presume to count ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Now, mind you, I know this is a little bit later on, but remember what Pharaoh said about Yosef, about him reflecting the Father. There is no one else like this. And this, he is that wise man that Yosef recommended. But we shall not boast beyond measure, but within the measure of the limits Elohim assigned unto us to reach even to you. For we are not overextending ourselves as if we did not reach to you. For we also came to you with the good news of the Messiah, not boasting beyond measure in the labors of others, but having an expectation, that's hope, that as your belief grows, we shall be greatly enlarged by you according to our limits. Notice his speech. It's as he's boasting in his confidence in who he is in the Father, but at the same time, he's showing them it's not by his hands, it's not by his works. It's almost reminiscent of whenever he was speaking to Corinthians the first time around, I believe it's in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, whenever he was speaking about, you argue I'm with Apollos, and then you argue I'm with Paul. And then he goes on to tell them, one plants the seed, one waters, but Elohim gives the increase. It's that same speech of boasting that whenever we accomplish something in the Father, we give all the glory to him, because he is the Father of lights, and glory shines bright. And we got to be able to be clothed in that glory and shine of his light. But not boasting beyond measure, I read that one, verse 16. I read that one also, forgive me. Verse 17. But he who boasts, let him boast in Yehovah. For not he who commends himself is approved, but he whom the master commends. This is reminding me of something simple at work. I was given a golden opportunity to show the Father off to people. Because whenever I was first being trained on that garbage truck, they were telling me, yeah, it usually takes people a month to learn it. Learn the route, learn the ins and outs. And then after, 2 days. The standard was a month, 2 days. On the third day, I was put on the truck by myself. And they were like, I think he's got it. I've never seen someone learn that quick like that. Started running the routes, time went on. And then pull me to the side, and they start bragging. Why don't you just brag about yourself? That's impressive what you did. That's this, that's that, that's pretty impressive. So on and so forth. They kept going back and forth, and the other ones were bragging about, I did this, I did that, so on and so forth. The list of accomplishments came out. I said, it's because Christ who strengthens me, Yeshua Messiah who strengthens me. And I do all things unto him that I do here. And it kind of like, it was like taking a balloon and untying it. There's no more puffed upness there. But then reality set in. And then that was an open door that opened up a door to a lot of conversations that I got to speak about the Father with. It's simple applications like this that he wants us to be able to hold on to. Because if we don't get that, then we could be easily snared away. Ended up taking a mark or taking something that just seems nice because it's being boasted in a way that looks good. It's a false light. But we got to realize that humility is what he wants us to walk in. And thankfully, Paul was being humble. here in his situation. He just has a he has a way with words to put the paya on him. But we looked at bold, the Greek word for boast. The Greek word for boast is G2744, and that's the easier part to say. It is yeah, kau ka o me ahi. I don't know. Sounds like something on a menu, but what it means simply is to vaunt, boast, glory, joy, and rejoice. And the Thayer's really emphasizes to glory. It says with reason or without. Trust me, the Father has given us a lot to boast about. To glory on account of a thing, to glory in a thing. But notice that Jeremiah was mentioned. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 9, and we're just going to read verse 23 and 24. But 24 was quoted by Paul. We're just going to go there so that way we can get an emphasis more on how we should boast versus how we shouldn't. And then from there, we're going to be able to get the glimpse of the Hebrew word for boast. It says, thus said Jehovah, let not the wise boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty boast in his might. Nor let the rich boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am Jehovah, doing loving commitment, right ruling, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, declares Jehovah. To me, that says enough and very straightforward and clear on how the Father feels about boasting. Because honestly, it's like we really can't fake the shape. When that light shines on you, that silhouette is going to show what's going on. And if it reflects the Father, that's amazing. That's something that we boast about. And we get to boast about Him in our walk and literal actions, not just lip service either. Because we're learning that so much that it's one thing to hear, but it's a whole other thing to do whenever you receive something. He gives you everything that you can daily to be able to boast in Him. And truly, we show our boasting whenever we are able to show up for services, whenever we're able to just worship Him, to be able to be in those positions, to be able to extend ourselves. And even if we're not, whenever it comes to attendance, how you walk, wherever you're being called in that moment to walk, is your opportunity to boast in the Father. Or you rely on your own strength. Another good telltale practice sign is whenever you got brothers and sisters of the faith that encourage one another, especially maybe a speaker that brought forth a good word. Where's their heart at in the direction of receiving that? Because it is words of encouragement, but you also want to make sure that the Father gets all the glory and the praise and the honor. Because there's a fine line right there. There's nothing wrong with encouraging, but how do you receive that encouragement? And that's not just for the speaker, but that's for everybody on their daily life, on how they walk it out. Because you can help someone in need on a simple gesture and direct it to the Father right then and there, and then they can take that and just keep trying to talk about you. Keep trying to talk about you. Just look at it as a test to keep boasting about the Father. Keep redirecting. Keep redirecting. Boast about the Father. But boast in Hebrew, this is an easier one, halal, which is H1984. It's to be clear, to shine, to make a show, to boast. And then, of course, it has its negatives. And another word that's in there is commend. We know commend was a word that Shaul was using in regards to those that commend themselves. Because you either boast in self or you can boast in the Father. But when we boast, we're being clear. We're being transparent. You can see straight through somebody whenever they're boasting. So whatever they're boasting about, that's them taking their flagpole, putting it in stance, and letting it be known what they're about. And to shine, remember what we said, the Father of lights, shines down. His glory is the only thing that we could truly boast in. And he wants us to be able to boast in him. But let's look at that ancient Hebrew. In the ancient Hebrew, is shine, star, distant, and it's the pictograph of the hay. Is a picture of a man with his arms raised up, looking at a great sight. The lamet is a shepherd's staff representing the idea of toward, as the staff is used to move sheep toward a direction. When you combine them together, it means a looking toward something. You're looking forward to something. You're looking towards something. Such as looking toward a light in the distance, the stars have always been used to guide the traveler or shepherd to find his home or destination. But whenever it's further broken down, is to cause a shining of one by praising or giving thanks to another or to oneself. To shine through one's actions or words. Ideally, it would be both for us, because we got to make sure that it's not just a lip service, but our actions meet whenever we're reflecting the Father. We got to reflect his light in that walk. But it takes boldness. It genuinely takes boldness. So you think that in the severity of Yosef's situation, that he's not just in front of anybody, but he's in front of Pharaoh of Mizraim, the person that has the access to do this. And then someone's head is on display on a pole somewhere. And all in all, he's putting every bit of effort and credit into the Father in those moments. And that's something to keep in mind. But on the topic of shining and being bright, this is what the words of the Master says. And this is something that we should be very familiar with in Matthew 5:13 through 16. But this is him reminding us of what we should boast in. But it says, you are the salt of the earth. But if that salt becomes tasteless, how shall it be seasoned? For it is no longer any use but to be thrown out and to be trodden down upon by men. You are the light of the world. It is impossible for a city to be hidden on a mountain. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it shines to all those in the house. Let your light so shine before men so that they see your good works and praise who? Your Father who is in the heavens. The same Father of lights that gives the gifts and gives us that ability to be bold and to reflect his light. But if we take that, say we take some time serving him, then all of a sudden we get a little sideways with ourselves because he's starting to increase you in your ability to do things and your ability to understand, your ability to comprehend, or even heals you. I'll say that for a living example for myself. I'll share a testimony. My wife knows where I'm going. I was facing a situation, and I can't go into all the details of it, of the medical terms and all that stuff. But the past year, I've been dealing with health issues, with hormones. A lot of it is to do with dietary, and trust me, I was eating kosher, but just because something kosher doesn't mean it's healthy, especially if you overeat. That's something I made a habit of. And not getting enough sleep, so on and so forth. There was a lot of things, and it attacked my hormones. It was at a low, and it was causing me basically to experience memory loss, cloudiness, couldn't formulate sentences. There was times where I actually would start to pass out, different things of that sort in nature. And last week, I went to get blood work done, see where I was at. Because two months prior to last week, I got completely off of medication, all of it, synthetics, everything. And I took a leap of faith. And I said, Father, I don't, because I'm telling you, like, when you can't remember and you can't function, especially whenever you want to come up and present the word, that'll mess with you big time before you get up here. It'll make you feel like you never wrote nothing down, you never spent no time, you never prayed. It'll mess with you. It'll be like the little cherry on top of a pile of not ice cream. And but that aside, it was when I got my original test before the good news, it was really extremely low, like very dangerous for my health low. Well, today, I got results in. I'm in the green. And it is right where it was before it all started going downhill. And all I could feel was the only direction is up. So now I said that, because now I can boast in him more. But what good is that boasting if I take that light and I put it under a bushel and I just hold it to myself and I just go about my life and start doing things the way I want, because I'm feeling good. I got the ivory bed laid out now, and everything's starting to look a little bit better and good on that end of the spectrum. He doesn't want us to have that approach. He wants us to keep boasting in him, keep walking in him, because he wants to keep increasing us, to keep elevating us. And I was excited to share that with y'all. I didn't know I was going to share it during service or after, but the Father's good to us. And I'm telling you, I can't help but talking about this moment, but I've done, because when I look into things, I research, dig. Might not understand everything that I'm reading, then I have to Google that and so on. And honestly, this thing was actually consuming time that I really should have been reprioritizing. I'll just tell on myself, because I was worried and concerned. But thankfully, that leap of faith, prayer, and trusting, now I can continue to boast in him. Because whether I would have got it, I would just continue boasting in him. That'd be the wise thing. Because even Paul himself said, this thorn in my side, he asked that it be removed. And I believe that had something to do with his health. But it's all you, Father. You just keep pressing forward to what he gives us. And let your light so shine. Let your light so shine. Because he's the Father of lights. And Yeshua says that he's the light too. In John 8, verse 12. And I have it verse 12 to 30, but we're just going to read verse 12. Because I really want to get to the book of Daniel. There's some good stuff in there. But Messiah, on this topic of light, we talked about the Father of lights, we talked about us being lights, now we're talking about our Messiah, our Master, as the light of the world. But simply in verse 12, he declares it boldly. Therefore, Yeshua spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall by no means walk in darkness, but possess the light of life. Now, of course, the context, he's there and he's going on explaining to people who he is in the Father. Those of that religious time, boastfully being bold towards the Messiah, denying him who he is, trying to twist his words up, trying to get him slipping sideways. It ain't happening, because he boasts and is bold in the Father perfectly. But that goes to verse 30 if you wanted to read it tonight. But it's just a key emphasis of what the Father showed through his Son and his boasting. Because he did say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That silhouette was perfect and is perfect. We know verse 15 of Genesis 41 says, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have dreamed a dream. There is no one to interpret it. Now I myself have heard it said of you that you understand a dream to interpret. And of course, I emphasize heard and understand because that's a familiar word for us that we quote every Shabbat. Shema. Shema, hear. Hear. But what's your intention to hear? And we know Shema, which is 8085, and it's hear intelligently. Call, gather together. Because the word intelligence is literally just the ability to gather information. We're all intelligent in something. There's something that we spent a lot of time in our life gathering. And that's what Shema is representing, is whenever somebody you can rely upon that hears and understands the Father. That's what Pharaoh's words is to Yosef. You are someone that hears and understands this thing that I'm dealing with, and that he can rely upon him. But the ancient is the Shin Mem Ayin. It's to hear, report, obedience. It's a careful hearing of someone or something, as well as responding appropriately in obedience or action. And in its instance here is to hear as well as to respond to what is heard. Being that we're in the times that we're in, he's looking for people that can hear. And we pray for it. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to know you, to want to know you more. To give us a heart that can Shema, that can actually hear, receive, and want to walk out. But verse 16, it says, "And Yosef answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. Let Elohim answer Pharaoh with peace." And I was reading over this, I got reminded, because this is a a physical representation of Shemaing, of hearing and listening and understanding, that Yosef knew to give the glory to the Father, to boast in the Father. And we get a subtle whisper of reminding sometimes, but the Master gave us a really good example here. In John chapter 6, verse 1 through 15. And this is a physical example of the direction of glory being given to the Father. Because this is all reflecting what boldness is. "But after this, Yeshua went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, that is Lake Kinnereth. And a large crowd was following him, because they saw his signs which he did on those who were sick. And Yeshua went up to a mountain, and there he sat down with his taught ones. And Pesach was near, the festival of the Yehudim. Then Yeshua, lifting up his eyes and seeing a large crowd coming toward him, said to Philip, Where shall we buy bread for them to eat? And he said this, trying Philip, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for every one of them to receive a little. One of his taught ones, Andre, the brother of Shimon Kepha, said to him, Here is a boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these for so many? And Yeshua said, Make the people sit down. And now there was much grass in the place, and the men, numbering about 5,000, sat down. And Yeshua took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed them to the taught ones, and the taught ones to those sitting down, and the same with the fish, as much as they wished. And when they were filled, he said to his taught ones, Gather the broken pieces that are left over, so that there is none that gets wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with broken pieces of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had been eaten. Then the men, having seen the sign that Yeshua did, said, This is truly a prophet who is coming into the world. Then Yeshua, knowing that they were about to seize him, that they might make him sovereign, withdrew again to the mountain alone by himself. He knew in that moment that he had to take that direct approach and withdrawing from the people, not to edify himself in his ability of what he can do. Neither should we edify ourselves in the ability of what the Father has given us to do and make sure that we remain in that servant position. Because all these things were done for examples for us. Because Yosef could have literally exalted himself in that moment, gave the dream, but that would have really messed things up. And be honest with you, the Father would never even allow him out if that was his approach. Because the Father masterfully orchestrates everything in our lives so that way we can boast correctly, be bold correctly before the ones that he needs us to be bold before. Because it's all about us witnessing of him to those around us. And another, this is the same example, except in a different area, and I'm just going to give you the one verse instead of rereading this in Matthew 14:19. It says, and commanding the crowds to sit down on the grass and taking 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And that's something else for us to think about real quick. A miracle like this that once took place to exalt and show the power of Elohim could still take place in our lives. And you think about the times that we could be potentially looking at. We know that the red horse is marching away, war is on the horizon. It's, well, not on the horizon, but it's been going on. Just doesn't feel like it because we're here in America. But if things change, if that's the direction we're heading, if, it's a big two-letter word, if, we got to have enough faith and boldness and belief that these same miracles that took place here, they're ready and accessible for us also. But it's that benefit. It's not just to feed the flesh, but to witness to those around us, to amplify and magnify the glory of the Father, so his light shines even much more brighter into the eyes of those that have been darkened. But it says, in taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to the heavens, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the top ones, and the top ones gave to the crowds. That's that physical representation and looking up to the heavens. He did that in front of 5,000 people. So they can witness what direction he's showing them that this blessing's coming from. Because right then and there, he could have just started dishing out the food, could have had a miracle right then and there. But then that, without glorifying the Father, without showing everyone what direction you were to look up at, that whole situation would have been for naught. It was a learning lesson for those around to realize where the blessings come from. And I mean, I'm also going to say, you know, if he was the Father, then why would he have to look up? But we're not going to harp too much on that. But he wants us to have shalom. He wants us to have completeness. Because he told Pharaoh that Elohim will give him peace, give him shalom. And is that also our approach too for others, for people that we witness to in their lives? Are we reminding them, this is where your source of peace can come from, and if you want it, you can freely reach out and grab it and have it for yourself. But we're going to move to, we're going to move to Daniel chapter 2. We're going to look at some patterns. And there's something to keep in mind, because I was spending a little extra time throughout the weeks in Daniel trying to get myself refamiliarized. And the more I read it, the more I'm encouraged to go back and listen to our Revelations Revealed series, which was absolutely phenomenal, and still can see the congruency of that word going forth and happening in real time. But we're going to be in Daniel chapter 2. And this is something, the thing that we're going to reflect upon here, because there's a lot of different parallels there. But we know that Pharaoh, in that verse 8 that we read earlier on, he consulted his wise men. He got on speed dial and called the professionals. You know, the plumbers and electricians of the spirit, and was trying to get his situation figured out, and they didn't have the answers. When we get refreshed on Nebuchadnezzar, we realize that's a sovereign with a lot less patience than even Pharaoh. And we're about to be reminded of that. But there's something to keep in mind, right? Because Yah works in patterns. He works in patterns. Man has systems. Man observes things, takes things in, messes with it, figures it out, and thinks they have a solution to the problem, but ends up with more problems instead. But thankfully, Almighty Yah shows his patterns and reveals those patterns to his dedicated ones, the ones that he can trust. But let's move along in this. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, now I can't help but notice this, but this is the first time I've noticed it when I was studying and praying, is I slowed down and really wanted to understand, what does his name mean? Because it is a mouthful. But Nebuchadnezzar, or Nebuchadnezzar, and a brown driver, Briggs, age 50-19, it simply means, his name means, may Nebo protect the crown. And this was Nebuchadnezzar's name, the sovereign's name. So I was like, okay, well, who's Nebo? I know it's not the fish from Finding Nemo, but we got Nebo represents a god of wisdom and writing. When you look at ancient pictures of him, he's kind of got some mystical wand, and he's magically writing on the scrolls, on tablets. And he just represents wisdom. Sovereign Nebuchadnezzar was very serious about accumulating wisdom. He's like a collector. Whenever you start studying him out and looking deeper into him, he had a taste for wanting to absorb more than just nations, but the culture of the nation, and then take pieces of that and integrate it into his to improve his empire. Now, mind you, this is the hand that the father used to discipline his children because they got out of sorts with him. And in doing so, Nebuchadnezzar took hold of Daniel and his companions. And what's interesting is the site that I was looking at, for some reason, gave me Nebo's direct parallel to ancient Egypt, and it's Toth or something like that. And I could tell you right now, just describing the picture, is of course a man with an animal head. An animal head is I don't know what the bird's name is, but I see him at the dump. And mind you, this is pagan wisdom. This is how they depict wisdom. It's the same bird with that long, skinny nose, nasty, at the dump, eating maggots, bathing itself in garbage water, and going to and fro, doing what it was designed to do, I believe. I mean, it's kind of taking care of decaying matter. And I just kind of chuckled to myself, because naturally when I'm at work and I'm absorbing my environment and I'm thinking about the studies, and then I started going, oh, that's what the world's wisdom looks like, just eating a bunch of garbage. So I'm telling you, I was sitting there chuckling. I'm just like, of course, my coworkers are like, why do you think that bird eating all that's funny? I was just like, it's nasty. And then I explained it, and they were like, man, if you just catch it and feed it corn and you purge it out and then it's clean. And I'm like, no. I say, y'all could have it. I say, you could stuff that thing full of corn and make it a piñata. I don't want nothing to do with it. But this is a little funny to realize that it's just what the world's wisdom can kind of reflect. And this is what they greatly relied upon. This is what Pharaoh relied upon. He went to these wise men and magicians and professionals, and we know they couldn't get the answer that he was looking for. But that's because the world's wisdom cannot comprehend the mightiness and wisdom of the Father. It takes him to reveal those matters. But of course, I didn't even finish his name, and I'm going on to the next verse. But verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Sounds familiar. And the sovereign gave orders to call the magicians and the astrologers and the practicers of witchcraft and the Chasdim to declare to the sovereign his dreams. So they came and stood before the sovereign. And the sovereign said to them, I have had a dream, and my spirit is troubled to know the dream. And the Kasdim spoke to the sovereign in Aramaic. O sovereign, live forever. Relate the dream to your servants, and we shall reveal the interpretation. It sounds like they were so ready to do their job. Well, sovereign Nebuchadnezzar kind of likes to take it up a notch. The sovereign answered and said to the Kasdim, my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream and its interpretation to me, your limbs shall be taken from you, and your house is made of dunghills. So not only are you going to be living in a not-so-pleasant environment, you're not going to be able to get out. Yeah, you're stuck. So I want to say Nebuchadnezzar, like I said, can take it to a whole nother level, because he told them that I want you to tell me my dream and then tell me about my dream. You know, Pharaoh made his dream known, but nobody could still figure it out. But this is where it's key to being bold in the Father, in the way that Daniel is, Joseph is, and Messiah is, and that we should be. But if you reveal the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive gifts and rewards and great esteem from me. So reveal to me the dream and its interpretation. I'm pretty sure a lot of them are checking their resumes and looking for nearby sovereigns to go serve after that. But they answered again and said, let the sovereign relate to his servants the dream, and we shall reveal its interpretation. The sovereign answered and said, I know for certain that you would gain time, because you see that my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you, for you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. So relate the dream to me, then I shall know that you shall reveal its interpretation for me. The Kasdim answered the sovereign and said, there is no one on earth who is able to reveal the matter of the sovereign, because no sovereign, master, or ruler has ever asked a matter like this of any magician or astrologer or Kasdim. I think at this point they're pretty stressed out. I mean, let's keep going. And the matter of this of that sovereign is asking is difficult. And there is no other who is able to reveal it to the sovereign except the Elohim. And of course, this is going to be more towards the Arabic or Aramaic. And Elohim, we know, simply means Elohim whenever it's translated back into the Hebrew. But it's referring to the little e, which we know that represents the other gods, the lesser gods, which we were given in detail Bible study. So they're equating to this matter. We got to hand it over to them. We don't know. Whose dwelling is not with the flesh. Well, that wasn't the answer he wanted. Because of this, the sovereign was enraged and very wroth. Double trouble. Extra hot. And gave orders to destroy all the wise ones of Babel. And Babel was not about to look the same anymore. They were going to have a renovation that did not smell great. So the decree went out and they began killing the wise ones. And they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the chief of the sovereign's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise ones of Babel. He answered and said to Arioch, the sovereign's officer, why is this decree from the sovereign so urgent? So Arioch made the decision known to Daniel, and Daniel went in and asked the sovereign to give him time, and he would show the sovereign an interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision to known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, to seek compassion from Allah of the heavens concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions should not perish with the rest of the wise ones of Babel. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. This was not a dream, it was a night vision. I'd imagine none of them were sleeping. They spent the entire time petitioning the Father for an answer. And Daniel blessed the Elah, or Elohim, Mariah of the heavens. Daniel responded and said, "Blessed be the name of Allah forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changes the times and the seasons. He removes sovereigns and raises up sovereigns. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those past who possess understanding. He reveals deep and secret matters. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with Him. I thank You and praise You, O Allah of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what You have asked of You, for You have made known of us the sovereign's matter." So I'm looking at time, and you know, ideally, I wanted to read the entirety of chapter 2, because there's a lot of parallels, but we're going to, and I'm sure we're all familiar. But the key emphasis on bringing up Daniel chapter 2 in this area and seeing what's taking place, considering what was taking place, what we're looking at currently in Yosef's life, and considering the boldness and the boastfulness and the lights that we're supposed to be according to the Father's standards, and considering that in the times that we're living in our approach, we see here that the Father trusted Daniel, gave Daniel the vision, gave him that access, because it's access. It's the ability to be able to be saved, to have your life spared, but at the approach of humility before the sovereign, appealing to him, because mind you, their names were changed, their identity was being integrated with Babel, because they had to spend 3 years. This is all information in chapter 1, but they had to spend 3 years in schooling to learn the language, the culture, everything, to be indoctrinated with Babel. But yet they remain true to their identity, to who they really are. The system can change our names. The system can try and tell us what to do. The system can do all these things. But at the end of the day, He's looking for those that are going to be boastful, bold in the Father, and let His light shine through all of that pagan garb. And we see that it's very reminiscent of things that are coming later in this Torah portion, and then also things that reflect Yeshua Messiah or Jesus Christ. And these things, and it's like you want to jump on those things, and that's whenever the mind starts going, "Oh, you remember this? You remember this? You remember this?" But everything in its proper order. And so in regards to Daniel, we're just given another beautiful representation of what it looks like to be committed to Him, to the Father. So with that, let's move down, because he received it. And let's put ourselves before the sovereign with Daniel. Let's move on to verse 27. But Daniel answered before the sovereign and said, "The secret which the sovereign is asking, the wise ones, the astrologers, the magicians, the diviners, and are unable to show the sovereign." He's reminding them, your wise counsel, the wise ones, the ones that have great, and these weren't slouches, these were part of the sovereign's table. The astrologers, so that means the zodiac signs didn't give him his answers. The magicians, those that smokescreen the mirrors, entertainment, and all these things that people naturally draw towards, couldn't give him the answers. The diviners, the ones that are supposed to be able to tap into their so-called god of wisdom, Nebo, that he was named after, couldn't even give him his answer. But who? Almighty Yah, through his prophet, through us, he gives us the answers. But he reminds them they were unable. In verse 28, "But there is an Elah in the heavens who reveals secrets, and he has made known to sovereign Nebuchadnezzar what is to be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O sovereign, on your bed, your thoughts came up what is going to take place after this, And he who reveals secrets has made known to you what shall be after this. And as for me, this is humility from Daniel. As for me, the secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than any living. He's not boasting in himself. But for our sakes, who make known the interpretation to the sovereign, and that you should know the thoughts of your heart. And of course, he goes on to interpret the dream. And we know that each level of that statue represents a different nation, its rule, and the timing of its rule. And at the end of that bad boy, that hewn stone, which kind of is resemblant of Dawid sending a hewn stone into a giant, because the nations around us look like giants, right? They look like giants, just compared to us. But compared to Almighty Yah, nothing. Nothing. That hewn stone, boom, took out the nations, and then there was a nation that was set up, incorruptible and everlasting and will always be there, that is on its way. It's on its way for us, and that no man can usurp it. But all these matters were established with those that remained bold in the Father, those that remained true to him. Because one of our favorite things to look at in the first chapter is the fact that out of everything that was being put on the table, the thing that was emphasized the most was literally what was being put on the table. He didn't eat of the sovereign's meat, his food, and stay true to the Levitical priest laws, the food laws, kasherut, because he wanted to remain pure in the sight of the Father and was able to gain favor in the doing that he was doing because of his obedience, because of his heart. And that's things that we need to consider, because there might be a lot of changes on the horizon. It looks like it. But whether your name changes, or those that try and put pagan garbs on, whatever it may be, nobody can truly strip the identity of who we are in the Father, because what Yeshua did for us, that price that was paid, that same good news that the disciples died for and ultimately lived for, nothing can take that from us unless we hand it over, because we're ambassadors. And but with that being said, and us not going through all of Daniel chapter 2, the key takeaway for tonight was that we need to be encouraged as children of light from the Father of lights, with the Messiah of light, that we can be bold in the right way. And we got a lot to boast for. No matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on. But with that being said, I love y'all. Shabbat shalom.